Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Now, Rob.
Yes, sir.
There was an uproar in the fantasy community today because the Premier League Goals Appeals Committee has now decided that Harry Kane did score the second goal for Tottenham against Stoke. Why is this an uproar thing? Well, first of all, there's very little evidence to prove that he hit it. There is one still frame where I've seen it look like it, but a still frame made it look like Harry Kane broke his ankle into 98 little bits. In time, things look a little bit different. So regardless of whether or not it was or whether it was or was not a goal, we don't need to address on this show. Everybody knows that I'm a Tottenham fan, and if you're a very angry Liverpool fan, my mentions are right there. For fantasy, though, the reason this is such a huge issue is that they have not given Harry Kane the points. Now, Rob, I'm sure you know Harry Kane was one of the most captained players last week against Stoke because Tottenham continually destroy Stoke. He gets the goal removed. What do you think is the right play? Do you think that they should have not gone back and given the goal to him? And if they do go back and give it to him, which they've now done, should fantasy mirror it? It just seems very strange because they gave it to Kane at the time, then retracted it, gave it to Eriksen, now gave it to Kane, and then won't retract not giving him the point. It's very, very annoying to anybody that owns Kane, and also doesn't really make sense due process-wise.
No, I mean, there's two ways to look at this. I mean, this isn't the second time this has happened. I believe, what is it, 4 years ago now that Luis Suarez had a goal either given to him or taken away. I don't actually remember. I remember reading the comparison to the Harry Kane thing, and I was trying to remember what it was. But this happened a couple years ago, and Suarez had a goal added, and they didn't add it to his FPL stats either. So I think it's clearly in the rules that once the game week is over, that they don't go back and add in, you know, points. Listen, everybody can cry over spilt milk, you know. Whether Harry Kane scored the second goal, whether he was the second gunman on the grass, you know, whether he won his second Green Masters jacket, he's complaining about getting a goal because he's chasing the golden boot. I know that doesn't help us for FPL, but that's really the real reason we are, you know, basically, you know, crying over spilt milk here.
Yeah. I mean, it might help in the golden boot race. I'm sure you saw both Mohamed Salah and Jamie Vardy tweeted about it as soon as it was announced. And as somebody that owns Kane and Vardy and was considering bringing Salah back in, it might actually help us in fantasy.
Yeah, no, it's a totally beneficial thing. I can understand why people are, you know, hemming and hawing for every little point they can. Look, we're in week 34 right now. Everybody's chasing somebody. If they're not chasing something, you quit playing, you know, 8 weeks ago, and you're just enjoying the double game weeks that were, you know, they're upon us. So, I mean, yeah, listen, you fight to the end. That's why we play fantasy. If you don't fight to the end, your fantasy's not your thing. Go try, like, Tiddlywinks or, you know, Rochambeau for money. I don't know.
Yeah, I did mention on Twitter that I would have had 11 points on that goal instead of 5 because I did bring in Eriksen for Salah when we got that leaked report that Salah wouldn't be starting. So I still feel very lucky because I did bring in Eriksen and got all those points, but he would have still gotten the assist. And Kane on the captain obviously would have gotten 8 points for that single goal. So a bit of a swing. And while that doesn't sound like a lot of points, obviously, in the grand scheme, on a weekly basis, it is still a lot. I did still end up with greens, which is nice, but oh man, did people get up in arms this week?
Well, look at it this way, you know, as a Tottenham fan, you can rest on your laurels and go stare at your trophy case. Oh wait, did you guys build one yet?
In the new stadium? Probably not. I don't think we get to use Wembley's either, although that one's been dusty on its own accord for years.
Though I really can't talk, as my Blues are basically...
Although we are both still in the FA Cup, and that would be interesting.
Yeah. We'll probably end up facing each other in the final, and then we'll bet something stupid like a six-pack.
And then I won't pay you when you win.
Yeah.
The other big news this week is that both Mohamed Salah and Andy Robertson both played in Liverpool's Champions League match. Salah actually scored the first goal that basically put it away. I think you mentioned that you still held on to Salah. Do you continue to plan on doing so now that we know that he's fit?
You know what? I have him in currently. If I need the money, listen, if anybody needs the money, that's the staple point with Salah right now. How much did you buy him in for? How much are you losing? And how much of a gain, net gain, are you going to be by bringing in someone, you know, of his ilk in the same position that, you know, in midfield? You know, the comparisons, Eriksen has 2 games, Pogba has 2 games. You're not really jumping down. I don't think you jump down to like somebody for Crystal Palace or, you know, one of the lesser United players. So you're basically banking that 2 games of someone else versus 1 of Salah just for this week. If you're out of chips and you're not, you know, you're basically playing, you know, straight, you know, poker face here. I'm probably going to just hold on to Salah. You know, everybody knows my strategy. I'm going to bench boost this week. So, I mean, having Mo Salah as part of a bench boost isn't a bad thing. It's just that I think people are getting overwhelmed by the comparison to, well, this guy has 2 games compared to Mo Salah's 1 game. Yeah, but so what? Look at Mo Salah's point return for all his games that everybody else has played in, and it's basically 2-1 in his favor. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think it's probably a wash. I'm not telling you to sell him. I'm not telling you to keep him. But listen, you know, push comes to shove. If you're chasing points in your mini league and, you know, you want to move to Eriksen and you need that 0.4 that Salah is giving you, by all means, do it. I'm not saying that he's going to, you know, play 90 minutes or, you know, be fully fit or, you know, be the extent of what we think Mo Salah has been and what can be still. But Liverpool's schedule is still pretty decent the rest of the year. And there's going to be some assets there. So trading him out at his value that you bought him at, whatever it is, 9, 7, 8, 9, whatever. But buying back in is the trap, you know, the point of trepidation here. He's now 10.5. So, you know, you sell him at 9.8, which I actually have him at right now because I'm just using that as a point of reference. And then if I sell him and then try to buy back in, I'm losing 0.7 in value there. So, I mean, that's a differential of a midfielder there. It's not like I'm just going, all right, it's one penny. That's several pennies. You know, I mean, for misers in FPL, now's the time of the year that every penny counts, especially when you need to, you know, shore up your double game weeks. You know, there's a blank game week after this double game week. So, you know, there's a way to set yourself up for that. but yeah, I mean, I'm for and against selling Salah, depending on how you do it. But have every intention to basically bring him back in for week 36, 37, 38, or, you know, for the final week, because I think that there's still meat on the bone there for Salah to chew on, if he eats meat. I know we talked about vegetarians before, and he is Muslim, so.
it'll be interesting to see how Salah fares with a single match against people with double matches, which is something we'll get to here in a second. In the interim, if people don't have a free hit and they didn't wild card, how many players do you think is enough for people to squeak by this week with double fixtures?
Well, I think we brought this up the previous double game week. Don't be shy to take a minus here, because at minimum, if you're bringing in a player that plays, you know, 90 minutes,
that you know is going to play,
doesn't score a goal, doesn't do anything, gets 60 minutes, not even 90, gets 60 minutes, and he's going to give you a point return of 2 points. So if he has 2 games and does that twice, that negates your transfer to 0. So on the odds-on chance that you're bringing in a star-quality player, whether it be, you know, anybody in a double, Lingard, Willian, Mahrez, you know, Murray, you know, guys like that, you're basically playing the odds that in 2 games, those guys are going to score more than what their basic achieved value will be at 2 points per game, because those guys are basically all guaranteed to play. You know, it's tough. I mean, I wouldn't say go more than a minus 8 to bring it in, because then that means you have to have two separate players do something of return. So you're basically gambling that you know 10% of your roster is going to have to give you a better return than the basic 2 points. It also depends on what you're doing. Are you chasing, you know, a great overall rank? How far are you behind in your mini league? How much money do you have in a league that you're chasing? There's a lot of factors that are factoring into this. You know, overall rank is the biggest thing ever. If you look on Twitter, that's the first thing every one of these fantasy pundits talks about is, oh, my rank is this. And I'm thankful that I am where I am. I'm not doing great, but I have fun playing this game. I think I give, and you give, better advice than I do. I just listen to you and I just copy what you do. You just don't know it because I'm a tattletale and a copycat.
But not a lemming. Never
yeah,
a
no,
lemming.
Definitely not. See, I go my own way, like that song says.
You can go your own way.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Yeah. Word. But if you don't have any chips and you don't have a wild card, you should have wild card before this week because you would have wanted to utilize another chip onto the wild card to take advantage of the double game week. But don't go in excess of -8 unless you're bringing in like that third player is someone of really, really intrinsic fantasy value. Like you know, like one of the elites. Like if you're going in and getting Erickson and Kane and you feel like Pogba's turned a corner, or you have enough money to bring in, you know, Alexis Sanchez because you feel like he's going to do something. You know, that I could see that. Don't do it for like a differential.
Yeah. One quick question before we get into either ors. What do you do if you own Goodmanson?
Because
he might be back for the second one, or he might miss both. But then if you bought him, you probably did so knowing that he also plays in 35.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough. And then Jack Quirk scored last week too in his stead there. So if you basically have I'm actually in the same predicament as Goodmanson. I currently own Jordan Ibe for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
He's on a double.
Likely going to miss one, but maybe the second.
Exactly. He's probably going to miss one. But the good thing about Ibe is he wasn't hurt. He's sick. So, you know, I'm playing the gamut here, but he's not even somebody I'm even thinking about transferring out to bring in another double game week player.
Yeah, just on the off chance that he does play.
Yeah, I'm just gonna roll it with it and say, you know what? He has the two games. There's two games for him to score value. I'm not gonna replace him with another guy who may or may not get two games. He could play the first game, get hurt, tear his knee, and then not play the second game.
Yeah.
And then I've wasted a transfer, wasted -4, and then I've configured my whole roster to figure out how to get this guy in, the other guy out, and I'm screwed anyway. So if you have a double game week player like Goodmanson, like Ibe, anybody else that has a question mark right now that is on a double, I think that – I mean, obviously there's guys that we will know that will definitely be out. Ivan Goodmanson are complete question marks right now. They're like 75%, you know, that they're going to play at least one of the games or miss both or whatever. But I think you got to roll with it that you're going to get one game of value out of those guys. And listen, not everybody that you're going up against is going to have 15 doubles, 15 guys, and be rolling a bench boost or triple captain on someone. So there's going to be points to be made up here, and differentials like Ibe, like keeping Ibe in your roster, who he may play. Goodmanson may come around and do some good things for you. They're both like differential plays. I know they're cheap differential plays, but they're still differential plays at none the least.
Now I want to talk a second about what my strategy is. You just mentioned for people bench boosting this week. As people know, I have a little bit of a different strategy here because I use my free hit to get through 31. Ended up kind of working out only because I hit the 100 club. But as we all know, that was largely thanks to Liverpool and their performances that week. But it ended up being more points than I would have had anyway. Point is, before I ramble off track, is that I made my own spreadsheet for free about what I think the difference is between both the quality of players I currently own versus the quality of their opposition versus kind of a team I would mock up for myself in 37 after my wild card, because I'm planning on using my wild card in 36. Mm-hmm. Basically, the average player rank that I currently have, so this is 1 to 20 based on people's attacks and everything, is 7.1 with an average opponent rank of 9.8. With a mocked up team in 37, average player rank is the same. Average opponent rank is 12.3. For comparison, during this one, because I split it up between attack and defense, lumping midfielders into attack because nobody buys defensive midfield options, really. In match week 34, there are 10 positions that will be facing bottom five opposing positions. So like 10 attacks will be facing bottom five opponents. Mm-hmm. In match week 37, there are 15 that will be facing bottom five opponents. If you bench boost in, if I bench boosted in 34, I would be getting 22 matches out of my current players. If I bench boost in 37, I could get 28. Mm-hmm. So because of all of that, I have decided to triple captain this week instead of bench boost. Yeah. Now, the obvious issue with that is there is not a locked on player that you can triple captain this week. There is Kane in match week 37. Although it is worth noting that I think it's West Brom and Newcastle, if memory serves.
Yep.
Newcastle have the seventh best defense in the Premier League right now. So it's not as pushover as we'd like to think. Like, when you look at those clubs, you think they're much worse than they are. Also, West Brom, for all their offensive struggles, are 14th. That's not horrible. And also, isn't that who Lukaku's playing to start this double?
Yep.
Yeah. So, if people are saying, like, it's clearly one over the other, I think that's a little harder to manage. I just think people trust Kane a lot more than Lukaku. And that's what's being reflected. But anyway, if I were to triple captain this week, I think there are three options. The first is Lukaku. I think it's the easiest. He faces the 14th and 16th ranked defenses, and he's in the fourth best attack. That is a huge swing. Being at least 10 positional points better than your opponent is really, really nice. Now, he has not been lighting the world on fire ever since the start of the season. He's basically been scoring one per match when he does score. So you don't know if there are going to be multiples. You hope that if he scores in both, that's a multiple. But I think he is a low ceiling, high-ish floor guy for this, as opposed to Kane, who has high floor, high ceiling. So Lukaku is one. A second one that people need to discuss, regardless of whether or not his second goal was actually a second goal, is Christian Eriksen, who is in ridiculous form right now and kind of tends to be floating under the radar. I actually spoke with Nick Trussidae. He was one of the Anfield Index guys that we used to do some shows with every now and again about owning Eriksen, because he, depending on if you're counting the one against Stoke, 5 goals in his last 3 matches in all competitions. He also obviously has picked up 2 to 3 assists, depending on how you consider that goal against Stoke. He is performing very, very well. And something that I don't think people are aware of is he has 4 goals and 4 assists in 10 matches against City. And that is supposed to be the one you don't want out of these two matches, the next one up against Brighton, who are at home, which makes that one also a little iffier. But for me, it's Lukaku, Eriksen, and if you want a left field shout, because you already have your front line locked, which I might, which is a little frustrating, because I need Firmino to play next week for me, because I don't have my free hit left, so I need players that are also going to play in 35, is Alexis Sanchez in midfield. I am not trying to be a hypocrite. Last week I came on this very show and said, I don't believe it. Then he put in a 2-assist performance against Manchester City. And more importantly than the 2 assists, looked like the player that used to play for Arsenal. Did not just look like a random guy who threw the number 7 on his back that has weird stubby legs and always makes stupid faces anytime the camera pans in on him. I am not going the Alexis way. It would force me to make a double move if I did want to go that way. But I think for me, those are the three best potential triple captain options if you're going to make that move this week. For those wondering about Kane's record against City, 2 goals and 1 assist in 6. Son, 1 goal and 1 assist in his career against City. So of them all, Eriksen's already in the best form, isn't worried about injuries, isn't worried about rotation, and has done it in the past against City, which is supposed to be the harder match of these two. So I think that is currently where I'm leaning. I will largely leave out all of my decisions. I still have my free transfer. I'm waiting until we hear the press conferences on Thursday and Friday before I decide what to do with Goodmunson, before I decide who I'm going to bring in. But unfortunately, I think I've accidentally ruled myself out of Lukaku because I held Kane. I brought in Vardy basically the day that the doubles were announced, and I have to keep Firmino because I have to have somebody playing up front in match week 35. So anyway, that's kind of how I'm falling on it now. I assume no tactical changes for you since you're kind of set up to deal with this better.
Yeah, no, I'm completely set up for my bench boost. I came into the week with 2 transfers. I've made them already because I wanted them you know, take advantage of the price rises. I went with Lingard and Harry Kane in. Nobody really has. Oh, I basically got rid of the Arsenal duo, but that was my plan all along. I wanted to basically monopolize on the Arsenal fixtures while when I use my wild card for those two fixtures, one of which Mkhitaryan never played in one of the games, and now he's out for the year. So him and Aubameyang out, Lingard and Kane in. Like I said, I could still do another move if I wanted to for a -4. I know it's kind of crazy that I just wildcarded three weeks ago, and now I'm thinking about taking a minus. But, you know, I'm chasing points so in my mini league. So I need to make moves that are differential. And, you know, when he's going lateral, I'm going, you know, I'm going forward and sideways. And basically, like, it's a big game of chess right now in my mini league, because I am a little bit behind, not excessively behind that I couldn't catch him, but – you know, there are things to play for here, especially it's considering there is some money in it and some American dinero too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to talk through some either ors and then our starts. I don't think we're going to do sits today, because basically you need to get as many doubling players as you can.
Sit Schmitz.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, and we are back. Rob, I'm going to throw some either ors at you. I don't know if you had time to get some ready for me. But the theme, because you know I always do themes with these now for some reason. The theme of today is singles versus doubles. Mm-hmm. We'll start off. You have Raheem Sterling against Tottenham, or Paul Pogba against, I don't remember, West Brom and somebody equally awful.
Yeah.
Bournemouth.
you know, it's crazy. I was literally just looking at the transfers in this week for players, and Paul Pogba is the most transferred in player.
Really?
Currently.
Because everybody's trying to go to Alexis, and they're like, I don't have that kind of cash.
Yeah. I think, well, that, and they're seeing that he just scored 2 goals against City. Everybody realizes the most important news is the last game he played, or that's
what
they think.
Yeah, but then they're being lemmings.
I know, but I'm not telling you. Listen, you know, people believe in, you know, fixtures over form and form over fixtures. Just because he got 2 against City doesn't mean he's going to get 2 against 2 all, you know, inferior opponents. but it's easily Pogba for me. I don't think, you know, based on just his basic return, can Raheem Sterling get 4 points versus Spurs,
knowing that he played the entire match midweek?
Yep. You know, no, and based on. Can Paul Pogba get more than 4 points, you know, more than the minimum points, 2 and right. 2 returns? So, you know, even if it's 5-4,
which is just a clean sheet in one of those two, which is very likely.
Exactly. You know, don't count on the clean sheets too frequently for City, for United right now. They haven't had one, and they're not consistently getting them. But yeah,
they're facing the worst attack.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And, you know, this is a great time. You should be investing in a United defender and goalie.
Goalkeeper, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's easily Pogba for me. I don't own any City players. I don't plan on owning any City players until they clinch against Spurs. And
they can't technically clinch it against us. They have to wait for United the next day, which is amazing because that's why I was really upset about them losing to United. And then I found out that the trophy won't be at Wembley. And now I'm A-okay with whatever happens.
Yeah. But, I don't own any City players. I'm not telling people to steer completely clear of City players. But look at their schedule. Like, there's so many ifs and buts with City coming up with their,
you know, with the rotation that may happen after they clinch and their fixtures, Spurs, Swansea, West Ham, Huddersfield, Brighton, Southampton, they double in 37. So, I mean, that may be the time. I think we touched on it last podcast that, you know, who are going to be the guys in 37? We'll probably won't know who we're going to be hitting on with City until after week 36 is over. Yeah. Because we'll know who's fit, who did well in the last game, who's going to sub, who's going to probably play. But then again, we still won't know. And the two games in 37 isn't a guarantee that both games will feature the same player.
That could legitimately be two separate 11s.
It can legitimately be two separate 11s. I believe it or not, the most popular guy I'm thinking about for week 37 is Alexander Zinchenko, because I think he probably gets both games.
I mean, they might even try to start bleeding Mendy back by then, though, who's been in training.
Yeah.
But no, it's a good shout.
But yeah. It's definitely Pogba for me with the two games to one for comparing.
All right. Next up is two people I've already mentioned somewhat today. Roberto Firmino up against Bournemouth, or Jamie Vardy, who's going to be at Burnley in their difficult defense. And what's the second one? Against Southampton.
Yeah. You're owning Vardy for one fixture there, and it's the Southampton game. Southampton has basically given up. Owning Firmino, this is a tale of two strategies here. If you don't have any chips, Firmino looks great because he plays in 35. Whereas, Jamie Vardy, I'm trying to click on the information here. I apologize.
He's on a double-double.
They play double, and then he doesn't play in 35. So, you know, if you don't have any chips left, you need the assets for this week and beyond into 35. Whereas Vardy doesn't offer that into 35. But if you have chips, you probably brought Vardy in knowing that you're going to chip out of Vardy in 35 to probably bring Firmino back in or someone in that same price range. And then, you know, after that free hit or free chip or whatever you're using is back into 36, and you're going a completely different way based on the fixtures in week 36. But if we're talking about here and now, give me the two games. Always give me the two games here. There's probably only one guy comparatively, and it's Mo Salah, if he was fit and healthy, that I would pick over any of the top 15 double game week midfielders.
Okay.
So, I mean, comparatively, that's probably where I sit. Forward wise, it's pretty much the same, only because I'm taking both City strikers out of the equation, Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. Firmino is probably, I'd probably comparatively with the double fixtures, you got to put Firmino basically in the conversation with Glenn Murray, guys that are lesser owned, you know, any of the Burnley guys, Barnes or Wood, because they do get two fixtures. Yes, they're a little more complicated and harder in competition than what we're seeing with Liverpool, but they're still getting two games. Like I said, even if they play the minimum and Firmino doesn't score, it's a tie. I'd rather roll the dice on two games of a guy scoring or doing something, you know, fortuitous for your team than sit there and be like, well, Firmino's been the goods all year. I don't want to push the money in the pot. So I'm just gonna roll and hope he does something. That's a give up mentality personally. But you know, it's crazy to think that I'm looking at the forward ranks to see who else I would have. There's a lot of guys. Obviously Lukaku would be ahead of Firmino. I'd have Aubameyang.
What about Aubameyang? Yeah,
I'd probably have him one spot ahead of Firmino because I think that what we've seen from Aubameyang recently is a little bit better than what we've seen from Firmino in FPL. I'm talking about not all competitions. Yes, and Aubameyang plays against Newcastle, so they have been showing a stronger defense under the new tenure there. So yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's the top forwards are Kane, Lukaku. Believe it or not, I have a sneaky thing. I wanted to jump in when you were talking about triple captains. Sneaky, sneaky for Alvaro Morata this week. Jamie Vardy, Glenn Murray, the Burnley boys, those are probably the top five or six. And then you start mix and matching with the secondary guys from Rashford could get some good burn. You know, then you start going to Josh King. Will he play? Will he won't? Will he get two? Who knows? Players like that. But yeah, most of the guys, when I do my rankings this week on Razzball, everybody basically in the top 10 at every position is going to be goalkeeper. You know, I'm sorry, everybody's going to be a goalkeeper. Yeah, everybody's going to basically be on a double game week.
Fair enough. Here's the question then, because I purposely put a poison pill in this one in case you use this logic, which is, in defense, Andy Robertson or Kieran Trippier. The reason this is interesting is because it's because with Aurier and Rose starting last weekend, that was the beginning of, with no other competition, well, there's still the FA Cup, but that isn't really interrupting game weeks because it's just going to stop them from playing in one.
Yes, and that's in 2 weeks.
Right. So. We are now back on the fullback rotation. Not only are we back on the fullback rotation, but with Aurier and Rose playing last week, that means Trippier is getting the City match, while Aurier is going to be getting the Brighton match in their horrible attack. So, Robertson versus Bournemouth, or basically Trippier versus City.
Yeah, I mean, this is another thing where you're playing the strategy game again. Are you playing for 34 and 35 combined? Because then, if you're playing that gamut, then you know Trippier gets Man City, then blanks in 35, so you're only getting one fixture. Whereas Robertson, you're getting two fixtures because he doesn't blank in 35.
Exactly.
So the point of owning Robertson here is, yes, he has Bournemouth, and then guess what? He has West Brom and Stoke right after that. So Robertson and Salah are the only two players that I haven't transferred out that aren't on a double game week, only because I like the next three games for Liverpool enough that I'm banking that I think Robertson is involved enough in the attack. There's clean sheet possibilities there, which is it's basically the defensive gold for anybody. Having involvement and clean sheet capabilities, and he has both with Bournemouth, West Brom, Stoke in the next three. It goes back to the same thing about if you're playing for week 34 only, then it's obviously probably, you know, either way, it's Robertson either way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. All right, now we're going to move into starts and just starts. Just starts. I've been talking for a long time. Why don't you hop in here with your starts first?
Yeah. Listen, if you're looking at your team right now and you have a guy that's singled up and you're worried we're going to make a transfer for a double week game guy, do it. Just because, you know what? There's no time like the present. Don't be shy to take a minus here. My first start is going to be a Leicester defender. I think what we saw last week is not who they were a week after. I think they came in with a different strategy. They got completely taken off the ball. I think, they have several options there. But I'm always looking for the secondary less option, especially for defenders on a team that I think could be a clean sheet team. Harry Maguire is the most owned guy. Ben Chilwell is the most transferred in guy. So I'm looking at guys like a Wes Morgan at 4.4. Nobody's really transferring him in. 8,800 transfers in. Listen, he's going to play. He's the team captain. He's going to play unless he's hurt or he gets hurt. There's probably no reason he won't, not play. So the tertiary defender on Leicester is my call on defense. In midfield, I'm kind of liking the lack of love that Jesse Lingard is getting this week.
Yeah.
Pogba's, like I just said before, Pogba's the most transferred in. And if you scroll down only a couple spots, guess who's also being transferred in a ton? It's Alexis Sanchez, because people are seeing the stats that just happened. Don't chase points, chase expectancy. I think Lingard this week at 6.0, his current price tag, and ownership-wise is basically just nil. He's 10.4%, but that active percent is, if you go on Fantasy Football Fix, is only in like the 6% range. So 4% of that, if the actual ownership is dead, just dead to the wind. So it's 6.0. I think, having a United midfielder or forward is something you really want to do this week, whether it be Pogba, if you can have the money, if you trust in Pogba, you have middling money, go for Pogba. If you have an excess of money because you're transferring down from other positions, Alexis Sanchez is your guy. You probably already are taking the risk in running Lukaku out there and hoping that he does something because he is a good triple captain option and he has two good fixtures. But if you have little money and you really want to, throw dice at it, Lingard is a good call, and Nemanja Matic is a good call as well, because I think he gets both games as well. You yeah. really want guys who can get both games for if you're investing in a United midfielder or forward. What remains to be seen who does, because, you know, stranger things have happened. Forward,
but also go watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, do that too, and wait for season 3 eventually. So forward wise, I gave you a sneaky peek about it. When Kevin was talking about triple captains, and he didn't mention this guy because I didn't expect him to, because why would anybody jump on Alvaro Morata's bandwagon here? His price 10.4. His transfers in are only right around 10,000 this week. But Kevin, look at it this way. Name me 4 more forwards this week that double, that are better than Morata this week. You can't name 4 because Morata would be the 4th.
Okay, 4 players that I think...
Four strikers.
Okay. Lukaku.
Yeah.
Vardy, Kane, and this is why you said 4.
Yeah.
Because
Morata's the 4th. Morata is the 4th best double forward this week.
I mean, Southampton and Burnley aren't bad defenses, though.
Yeah. But Southampton lately has just been leaky.
They have, yeah.
And Morata's gotten 2 starts, 2 games over 75 minutes, has a goal and an assist in his last 2 games.
Yeah. No, I definitely see where you're coming from.
You know, I people have been burned by Morata this year. He's been transferred out a ton of people, and they Chelsea have scored in goals, just they haven't gone through Morata recently. But listen, if the best you can do is a sneaky 4th best option at forward to try to be a differential here, Morata's not looking like an awful guy, and that's why he's my start for a forward.
Yeah, and we don't come on here to tell you what you already know. We come on here to tell you things you don't know. And I definitely would not have thought about Morata, and I'm sure a lot of people listening weren't either. For me, the people that I want to start this week, I already mentioned Romelu Lukaku earlier, mentioned some of his stats, both his strength versus the teams he's facing. Like I said, I think he's 1A among the triple captain options, and then therefore is obviously the forward that you most want to own this week. I will point out with Vardy that opposing stats don't really help at all, because he doesn't get a lot of shots on target. It's just when he gets them, he tends to be one-on-one. But I do think Lukaku is the best option. I mentioned Eriksen earlier there, his stats against Manchester City, his current form and everything. Also, he's been both creating tons of chances and shooting loads of times. This is a player that is now getting forward pretty constantly, and is really challenging opposing keepers. He's tied for 3rd in shots on target. He's tied for 5th in shot accuracy in the Premier League right now. He's just all over the place. And so I think Eriksen, again, that's why I think he's 1B for the triple captain. And in defense, yeah. I'm going to go with Maguire. I have held on to him ever since that triple clean sheet in 3 that he had back in like Match Week 21 or whenever that was. And the fact that he's going up against Burnley and Southampton, who combine for an average of 14.5 in attack, is something that you have to really, really like. You mentioned Wes Morgan earlier. I think that's a really it's following the same logic. But I think these Leicester guys are being really, really underrated for this double game week, when I think they could very easily keep a clean sheet in both. Although, credit to Burnley, I'm talking about their seasonal stats, and Burnley have been on a bit of a strange scoring run of late. As for my team, like I said, I think it's very hard to convince myself to sell Vardy or Kane. They're players that I already have on doubles, or Firmino, because I need him next week. In theory, I could sell Firmino this week, buy Lukaku, sell Lukaku, bring in Firmino, but I am losing those cents that you mentioned earlier if you sold Salah, which would be frustrating. Which is why I wouldn't be stunned if I found myself going Sterling and then selling somebody else to get up to Alexis. I think it would be hard to convince myself to own Pogba and Lingard. I think if I was to go for another United player, I need to go for like a clear star player, and maybe not Pogba, who sometimes sits further back. I'm not as persuaded by that 1 week performance. But if I make a move, it would be for one of Lukaku or probably Alexis, although I would hate myself if I brought in Alexis, because I think I would triple captain him over Eriksen if I did. Yeah. As it stands, my triple captain's Eriksen. If I bring in Lukaku or Alexis, it probably goes on them. What's your situation looking like this week?
Yeah, I brought in Lingard and Kane for the Arsenal boys. I'm sitting here. I'm waiting. I'm doing like Kevin is doing. I'm sitting waiting for the team news. I want to see if anything gets leaked, if anything, you know, anything that comes out can help me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hoping Firmino gets benched because that gives me an excuse to go to Lukaku.
Let's put it this way. If Firmino gets benched, I'm probably punting completely off of him and Salah this week.
Yeah.
Only because I think that with Firmino on the pitch,
it's the combination,
I think
Salah
is a just different player.
Agreed.
I think the differentials would be better for me chasing points to punt off guys that everyone is, you know, universally owning. So I would go from Salah to Eriksen and then Firmino to Morata.
Ooh, you'd back up your sneaky Morata talk.
I'm actually looking at my team now, and I kind of want Morata.
Who are your three forwards right now?
Murray, Firmino, Kane.
Oh, can you get up there from Murray? Do you have enough in the bank?
No, I can't get up there from Murray. Yeah. I don't. I only have 0.8 in the bank right now, 0.6.
True, because Murray, man, are his remaining fixtures just absolute dog trash. For those that don't know.
I only brought him in to be a complete differential.
Oh, yeah. No,
I brought him in for the double to be for Crystal Palace. That's
totally
it.
Get it. Totally,
you know,
get
Crystal
it.
Crystal Palace away, I feel like there's goals to be had there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Crystal Palace is the most penalized team. I think the most penalized team in
Could
the
be,
Premier.
And they keep conceding after the 80th minute. So if you are a Murray owner, don't get frustrated in the first 80 minutes.
just hope he's still in the last on the pitch 10. After the 80th. I like my team right now. Like I said, I basically have three Liverpool players, and those are my three non-double game week players. But look at their schedule after this. They save, you know, I'm free hitting after this week anyway. So having Liverpool there, those guys are going to remain. But if I hear some news that, you know, talks me out of it, I'm probably going to take a -4 or -8 and bring in Eriksen, easily Eriksen probably to be the stalwart backbone of my team. But, you know, I'm okay with my team right now the way it is. I have 12 double game week guys. That's perfectly fine for me. I have Kane. I have Salah still in there. I have differential guys on defense. I have Smalling, Tarkowski, still own Marcus Alonso, who I think is probably due for a good game. And I own Wes Morgan already, who I just talked up. My midfield is Ibe, Lingard, Willian, Mahrez, and Salah. On a normal week, if that was just one game, I'd be completely satisfied with that four. Getting two games out of three of those guys, I'm completely happy. And I have Murray, Firmino, and Kane up top. Like I said, I'm bench boosting, and this is it. This is the game. This is the game week we've all been playing for the last, you know, 20 weeks when we found out that games were being canceled and the schedule was, you know, being dictated to us for dollars. And so, remember when the roster prediction was free?
I will not make any slights, but I do remember those simpler times. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
It's just one of those sighs. You know, I wish if there was a sigh emoji, I'd be doing it right. Like I'd be totally like a sigh emoji.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Like we said, take all of this on board. Think about it. Probably don't make moves until we hear more. As we keep saying, the press conference is obviously Thursday and Friday morning if you're in the States, early afternoon if you are in the British Isles and other time slots, other places. Also, just a quick shout out to the Penguins. Start their playoff series against the Flyers tonight. Let's go, Pens. Any parting shots from you, Rob?
No. It's baseball season. Don't forget to set your rosters.
Giancarlo needs to stop striking out. That's my take.
Oh, Jesus. He looks lost.
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm sure he'll figure it out soon. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP, as always. And you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. Oh, quick timeout before I finish up. We do need to mention for all of our draft players out there, Toga is not doing double game weeks. They recently posted about it on their website, playtoga.com. You can also find them on Twitter at playtoga to explain what's going on about that. I meant to mention that earlier and didn't. But I'm on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find my writings over for goal.com. There will be a Premier League Team of the Week, Champions League Team of the Week for the matches that ended today. Also, potentially a betting preview for the weekend, but I'll tweet all of that out from mine. Also, you can usually catch them over at Goal Betting. Also, what else? Oh, listen to the EPL Roundtable and Championship Roundtable on this very channel. Rob, lovely chatting with you. I hope it was lovely chatting with me. Hope all of you have planned out your match week 34s. It should be an exciting one. Don't let yourself get too frustrated, because we tend to, because the season's kind of on the line here. But there will be a lot of matches, a lot of goals. Just be patient, especially if your players are playing against Palace. We hope you have all the luck in the world in your teams, unless you're in our mini leagues. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.